Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
97.1 The Ticket, Jamie and Stoney. College football right around the corner, and that means that the Big Ten Network bus is making its way around Big Ten country. Two stops this week in Michigan, in Ann Arbor, in East Lansing, and making that trek, as always, is our friend Dave Revson from the Big Ten Network, who joins us now on the Troy Laser Hotline. Friend of the program, friend of mine, the Rever.
If you were really a good friend of his, Dave, Jamie would actually go and meet you at the bus one of these times, but he's so lazy, he won't even do that.
We did do that one year.
And yes.
It's probably more my fault, because it's not like he knows exactly when the bus is swinging through.
Here's a true story, okay? I drove from Troy, Michigan to Ann Arbor. I met Rever at a restaurant where he was dining with such luminaries as Jerry DiNardo, Howard Griffith, Angelique Shingelis, and Lloyd Carr.
Wow.
Yeah.
They let you at the table?
Yeah, Lloyd did not look too kindly on me. And then I drove Rever to Southfield to do an interview on Channel 2, drove him back to Ann Arbor, and then I drove back to Troy. Oh, so
I apologize.
Easy there, Stoney.
I apologize.
All right, Rever, let's get to the actual reason you're on. How are you, buddy, by the way? Everything good?
Doing well. We had an enjoyable swing through the East. That's, of course, where most people feel like the power base lies in the conference. We're all still getting along. We're all talking to one another. So I'd say, in general, things are good.
All right. Let's start with Michigan, because you were there first. I got the sense from watching the interview with Jim Harbaugh, watching the program you guys did, and watching just some of your thoughts on Twitter. The big question for Michigan, really the last couple of years, has been the running game.
Yes.
And you believe that, you know, the offensive line, let's just start with that, should be, from what you saw from one day, of course, much improved going into 2018.
It appeared to be better. I'd say by a fairly significant margin, Jamie. Just physically looked better. I really like Ed Warner a lot. He did a tremendous job at Ohio State, and you could kind of see he's just a very good teacher. And you could see a lot of teaching going on, a lot of feedback, which I think is really valuable. It's one of the ways that I've kind of, through the years, distinguished between staffs, kind of what kind of feedback you get on every rep as a constructive feedback. We saw a lot of that in Michigan. And just, again, I kind of go back to physically, they look better. They're deeper. Another way to kind of gauge this is when the second line trots out, how big a drop-off is there physically from the first to the second? That was diminished greatly at Michigan as opposed to in the past few years. So I'd say measuring sticks like that, Michigan's line looked better. I think those backs are certainly good enough. I mean, Higdon and Evans are good Big Ten quality backs. To me, the issue with the run game has been the offensive line. They haven't been able to run it against the better teams on their schedule. You know, you look at last year against FBS teams with winning records, they were under 100 rushing yards per game. And then the teams with non-winning records, it was nearly 250. So a huge disparity there. I think they can balance that out a little bit more this year. And then the quarterback run's going to be part of that. And it looked like Shea Patterson, by all indications, was going to be the quarterback. And that adds a different dimension. I think that opens up your offense.
What did you think of seeing Shea Patterson, albeit it's just one practice?
Impressive, Stoney. I mean, he's got a really nice arm. He is very mobile. I've watched a fair amount of Ole Miss tape just to kind of get a sense for what he's going to look like, because you really can't gauge too much in practice. You know, one thing to think about, and people who haven't been to football practices might not be aware of this, but the quarterback isn't live in a practice like this. In other words, you can't tackle the quarterback.
Right.
And so the quarterback run component of it, you really don't get to gauge when you're out of practice, because as soon as the quarterback takes off and runs, everyone backs away. So that piece of it is really hard to get a hold, you know, kind of wrap your arms around. So that's why it to me, it was really instructive to watch him at Ole Miss. It's clear that he can make something out of nothing. It's an element that Michigan hasn't really had in its offense, certainly in the Jim Harbaugh era, and I think it'll make a huge difference.
We're talking to Dave Revson here on the Big Ten Network. Dave, how do you, and I'm curious too how Jerry and Howard assess Jim Harbaugh entering year four. I think because when he came to Michigan, and we know it better here than anybody, national championships were just expected to fall from the trees. He hasn't beat Michigan State. He hasn't beat Ohio State. He hasn't beat Notre Dame. I mean, like, against the rivals, it's just not good. But yet, overall, his record's very good. It hasn't been magic, I guess, which is a very difficult standard to judge someone by. How do you guys judge, Harbaugh going into year four?
Yeah, I would agree, Jamie. I mean, I think just strictly in terms of what the expectation was kind of at the end of the season, what Michigan was going to look like when the season was completed, I think they have fallen short of expectations. They are 1-7 against top 10 teams under Harbaugh. I mean, I will say, look, ago, and they were an inch away from playing for the Big Championship. If you win the Atkins football playoff, and the narrative is completely different. So, and of course, you have the botched punt snap against Michigan State. So it's not as if they are that far off. And from that point of view, I feel like it is a little bit of a lazy narrative nationally that, well, he hasn't gotten them to where they expect to be. Again, kind of at the end of the year, yes, you're right, they're not playing in the games they expected to play in. But they're right there. And I feel like after seeing all the teams in the East, they're right there again, and they probably moved up a little bit in my estimation. I still don't think they have the talent kind of 1-85 or 105 that Ohio State has. And first 11 on offense, I think, is plenty good enough. And on defense, it's among the best 11 in the country. So I think they're right there. And I do think it's an important year. I feel like at a certain point, again, you can kind of make the excuses, but third in the East or fourth in the East is what it is, and they need to be better than that this year, I think, for, first of all, they should be better than that this year, and then I think for people to kind of feel comfortable with where the program is, they need to be better to kind of eradicate the cynicism in the fan base.
Right.
Because of the schedule, is it possible that they could have a better team with a not stellar record, though?
It's certainly possible, Stoney. I mean, you go, the road games are very challenging. I mean, going to Notre Dame, going to Michigan State, going to Ohio State, they play six teams that won 10 or more games last year. They're the only team in the nation that has a schedule that's that loaded. Is it possible? I do think it's possible. But again, at a certain point,
right,
as Brady Hoke used to say, we're Michigan, right? I mean, you got to be, I mean, it's the winningest program of all time. So no matter how difficult the schedule is, at a certain point, you need to say, hey, we're good enough to handle a difficult schedule and end up where we want to end up. And I think in the fourth year of Jim Harbaugh running the program, that's a completely fair expectation.
All right, let's talk about Michigan State. Dave Revson from the Big Ten Network joining us here on the Troy Laser Hotline. By most conventional college football standards, you take a 10-win team and you have as few losses on the roster at graduations as Michigan State have, you put them in the top five the following year. Michigan State's not a top five team in the preseason. And I'm wondering, because I saw a little bit of your coverage from East Lansing, and Howard really stressed this, is it really only because of Brian Allen, the center, who's gone? Because you look at the skill guys, you look at the running back, you look at the quarterback, you look on defense, and pretty much everybody else is back.
And the coaching,
yeah.
No, I think it's fair. I mean, again, they're always going to kind of be overlooked for everything. And I think Tony likes it that way, kind of proverbial dip on the shoulder. But I do think it's fair to look at last year and say five of the seven Big Ten wins were by one possession margins. They were not a great offensive team. Is there reason to believe they could be better this year? Sure. I mean, exactly what you said, Jamie. You bring 10 starters back. Everyone's a year older, presumably a year better. So are they slightly underrated? They might be slightly underrated. But I do think that with an offense that was as pedestrian, I guess, for lack of a better word, as they were at times last year, I do think it's fair to kind of step back and say, all right, you know, I'll kind of believe it when I see it. If this defense is going to be really good, I'm not 100% sold on the offense, and I'm going to rank them somewhere a little bit lower than maybe the 19 out of 22 starters returning would tend to indicate you should rank them.
Is it fair to say that Brian Lewerke could be the best quarterback in the conference, or is that McSorley?
Or Clayton Thorson?
Oh, yeah, sorry. The
Clayton Thorson issue is the injury,
yes,
of course. But,
yes.
I mean, yeah, Clayton Thorson is being talked about legitimately as a first- or second-round pick. And Trace McSorley, I mean, I just love his leadership. And with Penn State, obviously has been in all the East schools, and just kind of the way that he comports himself is so impressive. I would say maybe he's a college quarterback ranks a hair above Lewerke right now, but man, Lewerke is right there in that conversation, and I think he's probably underrated. We talked about at one of our tour stops, who were some of the kind of take Jonathan Taylor out of the picture, take Trace McSorley out, and who are some of the other guys in the Big Ten who should have a chance to compete for a Heisman this year? And if Michigan State's really good, Lewerke could be one of those guys, and I brought him up. I mean, I do think he's that good. The one issue for me with Lewerke is, does he get better throwing the deep ball? That was an issue. He was just 18% on throws of 20 or more yards downfield last year. In other words, where the ball traveled 20 or more yards. That was the worst in the Big Ten by a significant margin. If he gets better there with the way that he runs, his command of the pocket, I think he could be, you know, he is a sky's the limit kind of guy. But the deep balls that we saw when we were there the other day, still a little bit underthrown. He's still not all that consistent with it. He talked to us about the work that he's put in on it. So interested to see, but I think he is really, really good.
Great stuff, Trevor. Great talking to you. I know we'll talk to you as the season unfolds, and hopefully we'll see you guys here for one of the pregame shows in East Lansing or Ann Arbor. Enjoy the rest of the bus ride, my friend.
All right, Sammy. Stoney, take care, guys. Really
Thanks,
good to
Dave.
Talk to you.
Thanks a lot. Dave Revson of the Big Ten Network joining us here. Jamie and Stoney, 97.1 The Ticket.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.